Turn our Bibles this morning to Luke chapter 24. Luke and chapter 24. We started from Easter looking at those and leading up to that, some of the things that was involved with that. And after the crucifixion and the resurrection, it didn't all end there. Amen. Amen. So we're looking at some more things, what happened, of course, to that time. Find your place there, Luke chapter 24, verse 36. Find a place, let's all stand together. Luke 24, we're going to begin in verse 36. So, and as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them, and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, Why are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, Have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and of a honeycomb. And he took it and he did eat before them. And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. Let's pray together this morning as we get started. Our Father, we're thankful, Lord, for your goodness to us, and we're thankful for your word. And Lord, we don't wander around like lost sheep trying to figure out how to serve you, Lord. You brought us to a place, brought us the great shepherd to lead us and guide us. And Lord, thank you for our Savior. And Lord, I pray this morning we might continue to look at his life and the things that happened after his resurrection. And Lord, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts this morning. Lord, give us the desire to live for you. Lord, give us the desire to know you and to see the things and your purpose and all that it is. Lord, help us not to just be religious people, but that we might be spiritual people. Lord, help us to be less like us and more like you, which is what you've created us for. And Lord, we'll thank you and praise you for it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. So number one, understanding the Scriptures. Understanding the Scriptures. It says there in verse 45, then he opened their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. When he was opening their understanding, what he was opening unto them was opening what the Scriptures means, what he was talking about. So the Lord in his appearance to them after his death, he says to them this. He says, this is exactly what I have been telling you was going to happen. That's what he said. The things that all these things that happen, he's there. He said, come on, what are you afraid of? I'm going to eat fish. I'm flesh and bones. I'm not a spirit. I'm not a ghost. A lot of people didn't rise from the dead in that day. Right? In our day either. Okay. And so it was strange. It's fair. It's a little bit. He said, listen, I'm just, this is all the things I said was going to happen. So he begins now to help them understand what they had heard, but didn't understand. We can have a tendency to keep getting a little feedback up here. Try to bring this down a little bit. Y'all hear it out there? Okay, that was just me. Sometimes there's noise going on in here, and I don't know. I think we're good now. Okay. So sometimes we will hear something, but not understand it. Right? If you're a mother, you definitely understand that. Right? You tell your kids something, they look at you like, yeah, do you understand what I said? I used to do this to my kids. I said, well, tell me back what I just said. Well, you said, they'll still do the same thing. I mean, still, I don't mean then. No. Anyway, the thing is, well, you'll do that, but we'll do that. See, the thing is, the apostles were the same way. Jesus spoke to them. They're like, yeah. Ah. And then all this happened. He said, this is exactly what I told you. Listen, by the way, if they were that like that, our kids are that like that, guess who else is that like that? All of us, we can hear, but not understand. And so he begins to help them to understand. The challenge for us at times is to hear something in the Bible and try to figure out how it all goes together with the rest of God's plan. Right? What is God doing here? You know, a lot of times what we do is we have this, we kind of have this this tendency to grab something, a piece of something, right? A piece of truth or a piece of the Scriptures and try to make that like its own story. Like it's its own situation. Like it's, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to follow this piece of the Bible. But this isn't pieces. This is a library, right? The Bible is meant to be seen as a full picture, is what God has done. He's given us. He didn't give us little pieces like we can follow something. Well, if I'm doing this thing, that's good enough. No, and other times what's happening, though, is you ever walked in on somebody's story they're telling and you're like, oh, that sounded bad. And like you got the piece of it and they're like, no, you didn't get the whole, you know, and they back up and, you know, and that's where gossip really gets in our way. Somebody comes in, well, they said, no, you get the context of what they, you know. And so we'll do that sometimes. And so that's kind of what can happen with the Word of God. We could just get a piece here. He said, listen, there's a picture, and I want you to see what's going on is what he's trying to do. He said, listen, so that's the challenge. How does this go together? Their challenge was that they thought he was coming to rule the world again as the nation of Israel once did. The nation of Israel was the powerhouse nation. They went everywhere they went. They went through and defeated nations, were feared. It says men's hearts would melt because of the nation of Israel. They're afraid. They said, listen, their God wipes out anybody that gets in their way. And folks say, you know, y'all go ahead then, right? And it became a different deal. And they thought, man, that's because, you know, remember, do you ever have an idea? Wouldn't it be great to see America back to what it was in the early days? Man, make America great again would be a great idea. That'd be a good slogan. Somebody ought to use that. I mean, imagine this idea that, you know, we think about making America what it was at one day, where it was a proud Christian nation with morals and ethics and holiness and listen, you know, blue laws and all these kind of things. Man, wouldn't it be great to think, man, that's what's going to happen again? Does anybody here think that's going to happen? Probably not in the next couple election cycles, right? But imagine if we thought that was going to happen. And so that's what the Jews thought. We're going to get back to like King David and Solomon. And the rest of the world, can you imagine people looking at him and saying, are you serious? Yeah, I just believe a revival could happen like that. Could happen. What could, we're talking about what could God do. That's okay. We're talking about what's going to go down there. Their idea was fair, though, to be honest. Their idea was fair because in the Old Testament, the Old Testament spoke of the Messiah as a ruler, as a king, as a sovereign. So they had in their idea that, man, this is going to be this kind of thing. But the problem for them was that they were trying to put everything that Jesus did into that picture. Right? They had this picture. I'm telling you, folks, here's what happens. We are living in a day of mediocre Christianity. Listen to what I'm saying to you. We're living in a day of mediocre Christianity. The average Christian today is below average. There's some preachers that do these conferences on Baptist history, church history, and Baptist history. It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing what people through the ages, Christians through the ages, suffered and dealt with, so that we could, even in our own nation, so that we could freely do what we're doing today. What people sacrificed, they sacrificed lives, wealth, you know, a family, all the things that they sacrificed, and we're like, man, it's too hot in here. You know, I'm just saying, you know, we need a little more cushion on our chairs. I'm with you, okay? Because I get hot too, and I'm like, man, how can I change that? But I'm just saying, we're in a different kind of thing. We're just in it. We've gotten to a place of so the problem is, we've kind of create a picture of what church should look like. Church should be community. It should this, you know, people come in. You know, I've had people come and say, you know, can you? I had a guy call me one day. He was at a truck stop, and he needed money for a bus ticket to go to Pittsburgh. We were up in Pittsburgh. He said, "Can you send me money for a bus ticket and maybe some food?" And you know, he wanted several hundred dollars. Called me at the church, and I'm talking to him for a while. And I said, "Listen, you know, I'm just talking to him for a little bit." And I said, "Do you have a church?" He goes, "If you come," I said, "I'm out here. I can't." I said, "You know, listen, I can't Western Union you $300. That's what he wanted. I said, "I can't Western Union $300 to somebody that just called me on the phone." And he started cussing at me. He said, "You made me believe you were going to help me, and you churches are supposed to do that." Oh, I didn't know. Okay. And so sometimes we get our idea about some kind of picture, and what we have our picture of this thing, and we want everything to fit into that. So what we see tries to fit into our picture. And so this is what was going on. And they had this picture of, we're gonna rule and reign. And man, I'm glad I'm going with Jesus, because, you know, James and Andrew, John and Andrew, they're like, hey, you know what? We could actually be on the right and left hand. We could be like generals. Mama, go see if you can get us to be generals for Jesus. Right? Hey, can they sit on your left hand, your right hand? You know, I mean, it's just this whole thing. We're about to run the world, and I want to be a part of that and thing. Can I just say this, though, this morning? His time to rule and reign with a rod of iron is not yet. It's not yet. We're looking for. That's in the future. See, we're waiting for his return, because after that, it's going to come some time. We're going to be looking, but it wasn't now. So the Lord had to now come and cause them to understand, watch this, what they had already seen. He had to help them to understand what they already seen. So he was about to put it all in perspective. Look at verse 45. Verse 45 now, again. He says, Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures. And said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. So, let me just do that again. Verse 45. He opened their understanding that they might understand the Word of God, the Scriptures. And he says this, it's been written. Here's what's been written. He said, I want you to understand, listen, what you're seeing is not what you thought you were seeing, is not what you're seeing. It's different. So let me help you to understand, not what you think you know, because you're wrong. Because you didn't even know I was dying. You didn't know I was coming back. I told you several times. You didn't know. You probably told him more times. It's recorded several times. And he says, but I want you to understand the Scriptures. I want you to understand the truth of the Word of God. There is, and it's written that listen, it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. This was good for him to do. Verse 47, he says, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. So let's go to number two. Number one is understanding means understanding the Scriptures. Number two is this, His kingdom. His kingdom. His kingdom wasn't going to be in military might. Okay? Yes, He was going to rule and reign, but not in the way that they were thinking. So turn back to, we're in Luke, back to chapter 17. Just go back to chapter 17. And he's talking about this. He was constantly talking about His kingdom. In chapter 17, verse 20. Chapter 17, verse 20. He says this, And when He was demanded of the Pharisees where the kingdom of God should come. I'm sorry, when the kingdom of God should come. He answered and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Neither shall they say, lo here, or lo there. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you. So listen, He was going to be ruling and reigning in the hearts of believers. It wasn't going to be coming with some notable military takeover, like they thought, or some miraculous signs of in the skies. I was thinking about this, what happened with the Russia-Ukraine thing, and I'm not getting into all that. You're like, yeah, no. But Russia, there became one of that rebel general, whatever you want to call him, he had his own military. And he said, you know, Russia was leaving us, hung out to dry. We're going to go and we're going to march on Moscow. And he turned, he said, come on, we're going. I mean, it was like a whole thing. You know what he thought? Everybody's going to come join us. And he got up there and he got close and he's like, I thought y'all were coming. I thought for sure they would come. And he got there and they didn't come. And he said, hey, can we make a deal that I could live? Just kidding. Of course, Putin says, sure, we'll make a good deal with you. He's not with us anymore. That's another story. But he thought, sometimes they thought there was just going to be this. I mean, they thought Jesus coming in, they're putting palms out. Hosanna in the highest, right? Wow, this is going to be great. Our Savior has come, and they thought it was going to be this thing. And He said, listen, it's not going to be with military signs and wonders. It's not going to be these signs and things that are going to go on. It wasn't going to be observable in that sense. The kingdom of God, He said, is within you. And that kingdom that's within us, right? Listen, born again people, when you get born again, Spirit of God, we become saved. And that's where that's where God now rules and reigns in our heart with those people. He said that kingdom was to be propagated. You see, it was not the kind of kingdom that was going to be ruled through swords and spears, and wasn't going to be the kind of kingdom like the Inquisitions or that kind of thing that were going to force people to be Christians. Wasn't going to be that kind of thing. He said, no. This is going to be the kind of place where we rule. God, Jesus Christ is going to rule as a sovereign and King and Lord in our hearts. But it was going to be propagated by the church. Back to Luke 24. Luke 24, back again in verse 46, he's saying it. And he said, and thus it is written. See, it's already been said, this has been written. And thus it behooved Christ to suffer and rise from the dead the third day. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all the nations, beginning at Jerusalem. The Lord was causing them, watch here, to understand the Scriptures. To know the plan and purpose of God for this period of history. He said, listen, you didn't understand it? I've been telling you, bunch of knuckleheads. My uncle used to always call me a knucklehead. You knucklehead. I was a knucklehead. I probably still am. But, you know, it's like, listen, you didn't get it. You didn't get it. I told you. You didn't get it. He said, let me help you to understand what's going on. Let me help you understand. Listen, I want you to know God's plan. I want you to know God's purpose for what He wants you to do. And that is that there is now available, listen here, for all men not just for the nation of Israel, but for all men, there's now available the remission of sin. Big deal. The word remission is a word that means pardon. So the Jews in the Old Testament, when they sinned, and when they did sin a lot, when they sinned, there would be then a period they would go into the temple, right? They'd go into the temple and they would slash the throat of an animal, smell that, and they'd burn it. So that's pretty gory. It was meant to be disgusting. Nobody thought, this is going to be fun. Let's go down the temple and wear our bonnets. Let's go down there and dress up and kill some lambs. Nobody thought it wasn't meant to be like that. It was meant to be disgusting. And they would take that and that blood, and they'd get the blood and then they'd sprinkle it on. You ever had blood sprinkled on you from a dead animal that got its throat cut? Probably, hope not. It would seem like some satanic ritual today. Yeah, I have. You shouldn't. So it was meant to be gory. It was meant to be. You know what that blood that went on them? It didn't pardon their sin. It covered their sin. Okay, kind of like a blanket, or as a period of time, it covered them. Didn't wash it away. Right, the blood of lambs and of bulls and of goats, they can't wash away sin. They would only cover it. So then the sin was still there, right? Remission is a different word altogether. It doesn't cover sin. It pardons sin. So that we become, watch this, justified. This is weird. It becomes just as if I... You know, when somebody gets pardoned, it's as if that crime never happened. That's it. When you get pardoned, you go in there and the judge says you're pardoned. You know, pardoned. It's not found innocent, because we ain't innocent. You don't get innocent from your sin, but you've been pardoned. It's been put away. It's no longer on you. Wow. So when we get to this place, it said that remission, that repentance and remission of sin should be preached. That's an amazing thing. He said there's a pardon available. It's really quite an amazing thing. It's available for all nations. And that pardon, he said, is to be found in repentance. And that is the work that must go on, he says there in verse 48. And ye, y'all, apostles, my church here, and ye are witnesses of these things. You're the ones that the Scripture is fulfilled in. You're the ones that the Scriptures talk with. When he said, I'm going to teach you, I want so that you understand the Scriptures, and thus it's been written, and thus it's going to be preached in his name among the nations, this is you now. You're the witnesses. You're the ones to take it forward. But you'll not do it alone. You're not going to do it on your own. You say, how are we going to do that? We're kind of a bunch of knuckleheads. Jesus, you're going to be leaving us. How do we do it? Are we going to do it on our own? Look what he says, verse 49. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. The Father, watch this, the Father has promised a power to fulfill this work. Wait a minute. So the promise of God, this power that was going to be given them, that they were going to be endued with, was for a specific purpose. So that purpose of that promise, it's what he's saying, what Jesus Christ, it's in my Bible, it's in red letters, what Jesus Christ said to his people there, his church, his apostles, he said, so the purpose of that promise was for the power to be witnesses of the remission of sin. I wonder what that promise was. I wonder what that promised power was. What would Jesus say, my Father has promised you power, that you can do this. Can you imagine sitting there thinking, that's pretty cool. I don't have to, I've got this job to do that's kind of big, like, because it's like the whole world. That's big. Amen? And he said, and Jesus said, but my Father has promised to give you power so that you can do this thing. Man, I wonder what that power, what that promised power. Well, we're going to get to that in a moment. We're going to get to that moment. But first, look at verse 50. He said, and he led them out as far as to Bethany. And he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. So they were excited for that promise from God. I like gifts. You like gifts? Yeah, I like gifts. So they're excited about that promise from God to empower them for this work of being a witness. I want to tell people, but you know, they did some things and they said it didn't work so well. There's times it didn't work so well. They're like, what is this promise? So it takes us to number three. Jesus began to do and teach. Turn with me over to the book of Acts, chapter 1. Acts in chapter 1 and verse 1. So Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. Acts in chapter 1. The Bible says, the former treaties have I made, O Philophilus. That's a tough one. That'd be a bad name. Hey, Brother Philophilus. Hey, Theo. That's what he is. Let's call him Theo. So, of all that Jesus began both... So this former treatise have I made to Theo. Of all that Jesus began both to do and teach... You know what's funny about that word? In my mind, I say it perfectly fine. My tongue says, no, I'm not doing that for you, buddy. Anyhow. So he said, I've already told you about all that Jesus both... That Jesus began. What he said, I've already taught, and this is the book of Luke he's talking about. I began to tell you about what he both to do and to teach. At verse 2, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandment unto the apostles whom he had chosen. So we find the book of Luke part 2 is what we find here. Luke gives this, he gives that testimony. Now he's continuing on, and there's other things arranged in here, but this is what's going on. So we find Acts picks up where Luke 24 ended, with a little bit of a catch up in verse 3. He says, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. Now, remember, he said this is what happened. Now he's repeating in verse 5. He says, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. So this promise wasn't new to them. Jesus had already talked about it. It was something. He said that, listen, wait for the promise, he says, of the Father, which ye have heard of me. He'd already talked to him about this. In Luke, we don't necessarily, it's not written that way, but here, when he's saying, he'd already talked about this promise. So this wasn't new. He said, there's a promise coming. It's about time to get that promise. But of course, as the apostles were prone, they didn't really quite understand it. All right? Look at verse 6. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? Are you kidding me right now? That's kind of what I feel like with... are you kidding me right now? I'm so glad we get to read about them and they don't get to read about us. You know what I mean? You knucklehead. Can you imagine? I don't know. I don't know if this is a real deal, but imagine the apostles are up in heaven and we're talking about, we're like, seriously, God? I don't think they hear us, but I don't know how that works. But imagine we're saying, like, seriously, they did this? And they're like, oh, really? Really? You're going to mock us? I've watched your life, buddy. I've seen how many times the Lord's tried to get through to you. about your condition to needs of sin and where you're at in your life, and you were just as dumb about it too. Fair. Okay. So, verse 7. And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. That day of the Lord ruling and reigning on this earth is still future. And only the Father determines when that day is going to be. It's not you to know. We're not going to figure it out. I think I have deducted when it's going to be. Liar. Anybody tells you, I know the day, just based on this scripture, Jesus said, no, it's His. It's His to know. If you could figure it out, then you're as smart as God, which we know that's not true. So something's wrong there. He said, it's His. It's only the Father's determined that day. Now He speaks to them again of this promised power of from the Father. Look at verse 8. But ye shall receive power. This was evidently a big deal. Amen? Any power that God's going to give you is a big deal. Amen? He says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Just in case we didn't get the purpose of the power of the promise of the Father, Luke reiterates it here. The Spirit of God, the Lord Himself, reiterates for us again right here why it is for the express purpose of us being witnesses unto me. Well, preacher, do you believe that? You really believe that's what it is? I'm just reading the Bible. Right? And I'm not trying to find things. I'm just reading the two places He talks about this power, this promise to them. And when He said this power is coming to you, He said, listen, here's what is connected with this power. Here's for the purpose. Here's what you're going to do with that power. Here's the reason for that power. He says it right here. I mean, I don't think this is a stretch at all to say, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you and ye shall be witnesses. And same thing He said back there in the book of Luke is the same thing. It's for this. So again, the purpose of the promise was for the power to be witnesses. Is that right? That's what it says. So who are we going to be witnesses to? It says in verse 8, He said, who are we going to be witnesses to? Both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and under the uttermost part of the earth. He said, right here, you're going to be witnesses to people right here. People all around us. Folks next to us, and people we've not even met yet across the world, to the whole world. So then, what do we do? Look, verse 9. And when He had spoken these things, while they beheld, He was taken up, and a cloud received Him out of their sight. That's it. Mic drop. I'm going to go pick one of these. He said, just wait here. You're going to get power. You're going to get the promise, power of the Father, to be witnesses. I don't know if Jesus said this kind of thing, but He's kind of like, peace out, and He's gone. And He's gone. That's it. He's done. This is it. It's gone. So what Jesus began both to do and to teach until the day that He was taken away was right here. This is it, right here. To be witnesses. He said, you're going to do this. This is going to come to be witnesses unto me. But what else? But what else? Okay, look at verse 10. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as He went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen Him go into heaven. You ever watch these rockets? See that light going up? You're watching it. And then there's that separation and you're watching the one. And if you blink, it's gone.
And but you kind of think you see it still. Especially I'm talking about in daylight sometimes. You think you see it and you like blink and say, I lost it. But you're looking. But you, I think I see it. Maybe there's a little memory in your eye that you think you're seeing. You're still watching. I wonder how long they were watching Jesus go up out of their sight and they're watching and they're like, he's done gone. He is in the spiritual realm now. He's no longer on the earthly. He's gone. And they're still like, I wonder if, you know, Peter was like, I don't know, just kind of looking around. What's like, what now? They come by and say, you knuckleheads, what are you waiting for? He did what he came to do. But he's coming again. Amen? He's coming again. And what you're thinking he was going to do now, no. You got a work to do now. He's going to come again and do what you thought he was going to do. That's going to happen later. He's going to come again. He is going to come, though, in the same way that you just saw him leave. Turn with me over to 1 Thessalonians. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 Thessalonians. It's like you said it so fast I didn't follow. I got to say it fast because it's a little rhymey thing. Okay. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. First Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with the shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. He's coming again. Amen? That's our hope. Amen? And that's a weak amen. That's like, amen. It's like, it's noon, I'm tired. Amen. That's not a like, yeah, Jesus is coming again. All right, help me. Here's what they say. Here's what he was saying. Here's what the angels were saying. They were there, and they said, you're looking up. He's gone. He's going to come again, but not right now. Not right now. No. It's not happening right now. Quit gazing up into the sky. I wonder those two men in white garments. I believe they're angels. And I kind of look at him. He's gone. He's done. I kind of imagine. Say, didn't he tell you what to do? Did he tell you what to do? I imagine those angels say, y'all got to quit. Y'all staring up there. He's gone. He's done. Y'all know what he told you to do. You say, did the angels say all that? I don't know. I don't know if they said y'all, but it was probably something like that. I don't know what all they said, but they did say, why stand you gazing up into heaven? The Lord Jesus Christ began to do and teach, is what it says in Acts chapter 1, which he wants us to continue. What a wonder it is that he would choose me to continue this ministry of being witness of his remission of sins, of the wonderful pardon of sin. So, here we are today, doing exactly what he said to do, telling of what Jesus did for us. Do you ever think about this? It's like, you know, a couple thousand years old. Y'all have any books at home that are 2,000 years old? No. We have anything that was written that long, anything that's like, you know, and, you know, I had to read and do this. I took a course on U.S. history and read George Washington's farewell address. I don't know if y'all have ever read that. If you read through that thing, George Washington's farewell address. I had to write a whole paper on it. And I'm telling you, it's like he was a prophet. You read what he said. And y'all go home and read that sometime, at George Washington's farewell address. And they wanted him to go for a third term. He's like, no, I'm going back to the farm. Right? And it was all this stuff and the things that he said. He said, if we do this, you know, this. It's just like, man, you could see some of the things there. And I'm thinking, man, I wish we had remembered that in our nation. But here we are, 2,000 years later, still able to do what Jesus told his church to do then. If you've never had your sins pardoned, I have some really good news for you. I've got some really, really good news for you about that. He told me to tell you that he died for you. Because when he told them, and he had it preserved to tell me, he said, I've got something. He said, I'm going to give you something. I'm going to give you a power. And here's what I want you to do. Watch here. Here's what I want you to do. The promise of the Father is going to come, and it came to them. He said, it's going to come to us. He said, that power, that promise is going to come, and that power is going to come. And I want you to, with that, with the Spirit of God indwelling in us, said, I want you to, with that power, you're going to be able to, I want you to tell others about me. And he told me to tell you, same like somebody else, he told somebody else to tell me that he died for you. And he has fully and totally paid for the price of all your sin. If you come to him the same way that I had to come to him, through repentance, you can receive that same exact pardon today. Well, what do I got to do for that? What kind of mountain? What kind of, is there this whole thing? No. What he said is the same thing. It's through that repentance. Repentance is something that starts with this thing called confession. It's really this. It's really just this, to agree with God. God said you've sinned against him. The Word of God tells us you and I have all sinned against him. So a lot of times what we want to do is we want to walk around and say, well, I don't really think it's that bad. I've been good and my bad. You know, I know things. But there's these other things I've done. So I think at the end God's going to weigh it out. I used to go to the jail as a jail chaplain. I'd go in there and guys would hold on to the bars and I'd go up and talk to them cell by cell. And they'd come up. I kind of backed away a little bit. I didn't know if they... No, not really. But I would talk to them and they'd sit in there and I'd say, hey, listen, if you died today, are you would you go to heaven? They're like, oh, yeah. And I said, well... And that's okay. Somebody in jail could go to heaven. That's all right. And I said, well, Why is God going to let you into heaven? They're holding the bar, and they said, well, yeah, I've been a pretty good person. And I'm thinking, yeah. We could be at the worst place in our life, and we can still say, you know, I think my good still outweighs my bad. You know what the Lord said here? Listen, I want you to preach that if people will be decent, they can have a pardon of their sin. You know, nowhere even close. Nowhere in the Bible is even close to people being good. Not even close. Nowhere in the Bible speaks of your good outweighing your bad. Just be a good... No. He said, listen, it's through repentance. It's really this, to agree with God. God, you're right. I have sinned against you. And I am in darkness. I have sinned. And so God, you know what I want to do? Because I've realized you're right. I am sinning. I am going to do this thing. That was repent. That's confession. To confess God, you're right. The second part is just this. Because confession leads to repentance. So God, I am going to keep saying I'm sorry. I'm going to keep doing it, but I'm going to keep saying I'm sorry. That doesn't sound like repentance at all, does it? So if I went to somebody and I'm smacking them in the face, I'm really sorry about that. And they're like, no, that's fine. And I smack them again. I said, I'm really sorry about that. About the fourth or fifth time, they're gonna, and they're like all black and blue and swollen. They're like, I don't think you're really sorry. Right? And they might say at some point, could you please stop doing that? Or they're knocked out. I don't know. You know, it depends. Confession isn't just saying something. It actually believes something, doesn't it? It says, I'm wrong. I've done this thing. And so it causes repentance. And repentance says, God, I am going to stop living. By the way, not just this thing, but this whole life of living me. Of living what I want to do. My will, my way, my purpose, my plan, my idea of what the world is. I said, God, I'm confessing you're right, God. I didn't understand this. I didn't understand it. But God, now I do. When I came to Jesus Christ that day, February 25th, 1996, I came to Him and I thought I was saved. Came to church that morning. My cousin Sheila invited me. I thought, I didn't even think about it. I wasn't saved. Didn't even cross my mind that I wasn't on my way to heaven. I'm good. Got through that day. The preacher said, if you die today, you're 100% sure you go to heaven. Yes. I mean, I didn't say it out loud. I'm like, of course. And as he preached about this thing, I'm like, well, 70%, 50, 30. By the end of that message, I'm like, I got no idea. You know what happened to me? I came to the understanding. I'd heard it before, probably, in some way. But here I came to the understanding that this wasn't just, oh man, I got to quit being a liar. I got to quit cussing, drinking, smoking, and running around to people to do those things. I got to quit. It wasn't just that. It was to say, God, I'm wrong. You're right. I'm wrong. And it caused me to repent. And the word, it kind of means to turn away. And now it's like, okay, so over here you didn't cuss, drink, smoke, do all those other things. It's more than that. It wasn't just these little things. It was now my life was now living for Him. And by the way, not on my own, but you know what I also got? That promise of the Father. Oh man, that's amazing. It is so amazing. Can I tell you folks, that right there, that's where pardon is found. That's where it's found. And what He began to do and to teach, we're continuing today. That's what He said to do. He said, by the way, I've given you the Father. Has given you this promise for this express purpose. Now, is there other thing that the Spirit of God does? Yeah, a whole bunch. A whole bunch of stuff. But this was, He said, listen, I'm going to leave, but you're going to have. Listen, let me just say to you, folks, we're closing. Already, we're closing. Amen? Y'all happy about that? But I want to close you with this. Listen, folks, I went through life, not a long time, I'll be quite honest, I mean, relatively now, thinking that I was in good shape. Didn't even think about whether I'd been pardoned from sin. And that day when I went forward, it got to the time of invitation, I didn't know about invitations, honestly. Didn't even know what that was. And so the piano started playing. The preacher said this. Other people knew what they were doing. And so they all came. I mean, there's a crowd of people that came and filled up. They filled up the front. They filled up the aisle about halfway back already before I even knew what was going on. I was like, what's going on here? And he said, listen, if you need to get saved today, you need to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior today. Come on down. I couldn't get past halfway down the aisle. I was halfway down the aisle, and the preacher came, wiggled his way through, got and knelt down and prayed with me. It was some amazing, authentic prayer. I don't remember a word of it. Nothing. It was, but he came that day, and I decided, listen, that's what I'm looking for. That's what I've been looking for. Trusted Christ that day. Can I tell you? A little bit of change in my life. It's from darkness unto light. It was so amazing. And I thought, man, that's what I didn't know. I didn't understand it all. But I realized that day there's a pardon to be received. Let's all stand together.